Welcome to the Compass Church Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Phil Bray.
Great to have you in church on this special Mother's Day. And hope you were able to honour your mum this morning, or to be honoured. And, you know, I do get and I do understand that Mother's Day may not always be a time of celebration for people. And, you know, the Bible does give us some challenging thoughts about that whole thing in terms of honouring our parents. You know, I love the fact that that's actually the one commandment that there's a promise attached to it that is relates to us personally. If we're able to honour and obey our parents, it will go well with us, etc. But that's not always an easy thing with some people. And, you know, the Bible, I guess the challenge is for us that it tries to present with us this concept of scales, that we're called to actually give equal weight to the good and the bad that has happened, particularly in the area of our parents. That word honour means that, so that we actually accept and acknowledge that parents aren't perfect. And if you're a parent in the room, I'm sure you would be the first to put your hand up and say, yep, I get that. But if you're a child, you'd also, I'm sure, be the first to put your hand up and go, yep, my parents weren't perfect. Sort of, unless you're here this morning, your parents are sitting near you and you just go, no, that my parents are perfect, yeah. But, you know, the Bible actually calls us to give equal weight, and that is a really hard thing to do, because if the bad actually outweighs significantly any form of good, how are you supposed to give that equal weight? And yet that's what we're called to do in terms of honouring. And so, like, you know, if there's somebody that you can't even think of one good thing, I guess we can be grateful that our mums had us, that they had options of not having us, but out of their decision-making processes, they decided to have us and that we're here. And if that's the only thing you can hold on to, the Bible says, you know, you've just got to honour her as your mum and give that equal weight to maybe all the bad stuff that happened in your life. And if it's somehow, with God's help, you're able to do that, I think it does bring great peace into people's lives, as I've journeyed with some people who've had to struggle with that whole concept of dealing with. And so today may not be a highlight for you, but I really want to sort of get the focus and attention onto Jesus and his view of motherhood and his relationship with his mum, his earthly mother, as in Mary we're talking about. So if you've got your Bible, turn to John chapter 19, because this is an outstanding passage of Scripture. That there is so much in it, but we get an insight into the value in which Jesus had and the respect he had for Mary and his care for her at this particular point in his life. So if you're in John chapter 19, verse 25, I'm reading from the NIV, it says this: near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved, and he's talking about John, standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son," and to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. And I just want you to think about that for a second. Let's try and get the context of when and how this is happening. This is obviously happening with Jesus Christ on the cross. This is happening at a time, it's not sitting back in the lounge room just having a couple of cold bevies with someone and just going, "Hey, John, you know, mum, take care of it," kind of thing. It's a significantly and seriously traumatic event taking place and unfolding here. This narrative is actually communicating something out of a very traumatic time for Jesus, and yet he still finds to be able to say this. So, like, I mean, I think about Mary, and you think, you know, as a teenager, getting the news from the angel that she's going to be the mother of Jesus through those extraordinary circumstances, that she was going to experience the virgin birth, that the Holy Spirit would come upon and this baby would be instilled within a womb, and then she would go full term, and, you know, she'd have to wrestle with all of that and trying to come to grips with that, along with the social pressures of the day. And even today, there's still a stigma attached to teenage pregnancy and single parents. Parenting, and she wasn't married, and all of those sort of things. And we know the narrative story of the Christmas story of Jesus being born in a manger, and it's not a grand entrance into life by any means. And Mary here is the mother of Jesus, and she experiences all the wise men and the shepherds and the angelic manifestations and all of these things. So, I mean, it's not your average pregnancy, it's not your average birth, and it's certainly not your average childhood. And you see, you know, Mary would have had to go on living with this whole concept of wrestling with, you know, wow, I can't believe this is really happening. She would have known that there was something super special about Jesus. And if you've ever seen a Christmas card or you've seen a Christmas carol away in a manger, you know, no crying he makes. Obviously, Jesus was the perfect baby. He slept through the night from day one, obviously. So Mary must have known there was something special about this little baby. And as he was growing up, you know, I could just imagine toilet training and potty training and stuff like that with Jesus. Jesus goes, okay, Mum, got it under control. We got it first time. And it's just like, well, there's something really... And then, you know, Jesus would be playing with his friends and he'd be playing hide and seek and Jesus would always win really quickly because he just knew where they were. And like, you know, Mary could just count on, just Jesus just doesn't lie. He's just such a good kid. There's something really special about this kid. Maybe there's some truth in this whole angelic virgin birth thing that this kid is going. And you could imagine up until the tradition was, up until the age of 5 or 6, the mums were the ones that cared for the child. Just the mums were the one. And then from that age onwards, the child would then hang out with, particularly boys, I should say, would then hang out with their fathers and learn their father's family trade. And in this case, Joseph being a carpenter, Jesus learnt the trade under his father's tutelage. And so, you know, up until 5 or 6, you know, Mary would have been hanging out with Jesus every day as a mum would, and just the whole life thing of spending that time. Then we see, you know, Jesus learning the trade of carpentry and growing up and coming home and sitting down as the culture was of the day, you know, sitting up on the rooftop, eating meals in the cool of the evening and this whole life together. Then suddenly Jesus is launched onto the world stage, and suddenly Mary, the mother of Jesus, is watching her son start to fulfill all this stuff that she'd been told about. What an amazing experience. But yet it's still her son. It's still her happy bouncing baby boy that she has raised and she's nurtured and she's cared for it and she's loved and, you know, picked him up off the ground when he scratched his knee and whatever they used for band-aids, maybe it was a bit of seaweed or something, just shove it on the leg or whatever, you know. But, you know, she was the one that did all of that. And then she's kind of like had people that would come up and talk to her about, you know, what is your son doing? We hear all about this Jesus and that he's going around and apparently he's healing people. And you could imagine the conversations that Mary would have had to have had. Now, we don't hear much about Joseph, do we? From the time of Jesus' presentation to the temple, and then at the age of 12, he goes to the temple and he astounds the teachers. We see Joseph mentioned there, but thereafter, we don't see any mention of Joseph. And my study would indicate that Joseph died sometime in between the age of 12 and 30, his launch into public ministry. So that's the general sort of consensus that, yes, Jesus did have other brothers and sisters, but he... didn't have a father through those later years. So Jesus grows up with just mum. And then could you imagine, like, hearing about your son being this guy who's fulfilling all the Old Testament prophecies about being the Messiah? I mean, in some ways you'd be freaking out just going, oh, have I got a crazy child? And then on the other hand, just going, but yet he's doing all these miracles. He's doing all these phenomenal things. And then, like, you know, she's heard him teach, and we see it recorded even in Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. Jesus quotes out of Isaiah 61, and Jesus says this about himself in the temple, in the synagogue. He stands up and he reads from the scrolls in terms of his mission and purpose for being on the planet. He says this: "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And Jesus stops there. Bit of trivial information. If you read Isaiah 61 verses 1 and 2, you'll see the next part that comes after that, Jesus doesn't finish it because it says, "and the day of vengeance of our God." But Jesus stops there because he says, you know what? I've come in not to condemn the world, but to love the world. I haven't come to bring God's vengeance. I've come to bring an open hand of fellowship and an open hand of relationship with you. And so Jesus intentionally stops at that point there. And he's saying, I've come to heal the brokenhearted. I've come to set the captives free. I've come to proclaim the coming of the Lord's kingdom into human history like never, ever before. And I'm about to show you who God is in a whole brand new way in light. And so Mary is hearing about all this stuff. She's still his mum, isn't she? So she's still going, that's my boy. But let's fast track through his ministry, his 3 and a bit years of ministry, and we get to this passage towards the end of John, and we see the crucifixion scene. Now, I don't know about, I was thinking about this and I was almost brought to tears because, like, you know, I'm pretty hopeless when my girls kind of hurt themselves. You know, if it's just fall over, it's just like, you know, suck it up, princess, get up, let's go. You know, but when it's a serious and you know your child's scream. When your kid is in real pain, you know, just straight away. You can be in a crowded room, but, like, if your kid makes a particular noise, you just know. Do the parent, do you know what I'm saying? Parents know what I'm saying, right? You just, and so, could you imagine Mary having to watch what Jesus went through? Could you imagine just standing back, number one, being a woman and not being highly regarded in society anyway, being a single mum and, you know, sort of being in this situation. She's standing there, she's watching her son getting punched, getting kicked, being accused falsely. And like everything within her would have been going, that's not true. That is not my son. My son didn't do that. Don't you remember what he did, all the healings that he did? Don't you remember the dead people he brought back to life and how he fed all those people? Could you imagine the mother's heart as she's watching her son get ripped to shreds? And there's nothing that she can do. And we see throughout the passages that she's there. She sees this stuff unfolding. And a mother has to stand by while her son gets ripped apart, chunks of his beard pulled out, and then ultimately he gets nailed to a cross and he's there and he's hanging on that cross. And just to top it off, the Bible tells us that he takes the weight of the sin of the world upon himself, all of my sin, all of your sin, the world's sin upon himself. If it's not just the physical torture that he's had to go through, he's also spiritually taking upon himself, because he's Jesus the man, but Jesus who is God, taking that upon himself, dying for all mankind. And he's got the weight of the world on his shoulder, and as he's hanging there in absolute agony, every nerve fiber, every pain fiber in his body is just sending ridiculous messages to his brain, excruciating pain and spasms and everything. He's hanging there and he's still got time to think of his mum. I'm going, wow. Just going, wow. I think to myself, now, I annoy Nat when I get sick, because I withdraw into myself. I go quiet. It's like, but I know apparently, not for the guys in the room, but apparently there's guys in the room that really whinge and complain when they get sick. Oh, I'm feeling really sick. It's like, oh, you know, I need some chicken soup. I need a tea with lemon and honey. You know, I need a rub on the back. I need some Vicks there. It's like, you know, and suddenly when we go through hard times sometimes, it's all about me. It's all about me. But Jesus here is like taking the weight of the world on his shoulders, and he's still got time to think of others. And then one of the things I was challenged out of this is, like, when I'm going through my hard times, how introspective, how self-centered do I get? How open am I at times to actually just going, even in the midst of my chaos, am I open to other people going through their stuff? That's a great challenge. Now, I don't mean to, I know there's situations in life to varying degrees that can be really taxing and intense and hard for people, where it's the best thing for us to do is to be looking after ourselves and to make sure we've got good support structures around us. But I'm talking about just general stuff where it's like, it's not, oh, woe is me if I've got an ingrown toenail and the whole universe should revolve around Phil. And it's like, you know, it's all about me. It's like, even through my hardships and tough times, it's how often do I actually look outside of myself? You know, so one of the couple of interesting things that I want to bring out of this passage is Jesus actually turns as he's hanging there. He looks to his mother and he says, dear, a term of endearment, dear woman. Notice he doesn't say, hey, mum, I want to talk to you for a sec. And right here, Jesus is actually sort of saying that, you know what, I know that there are people that elevate Mary to a position of almost deity. And there must have been something unique and wonderful about Mary. I'm not trying to minimize that. But when we elevate somebody to a position like that, it's called, I believe, idolatry. When it's meant to be all about Jesus Christ. And Jesus, in his final breath, is not saying, hey, mum, I exalt you to this position of great authority and power. He says, dear woman. And I think he intentionally did that to say, you know what? Yeah, there is something special and unique, and you are highly favored and chosen by God. We understand all of that and we should respect that, but we shouldn't elevate Mary to a position of deity or superiority above anybody else, because she was a normal human being. But Jesus Christ was no ordinary human being. He was God. And so he says this, he sort of like makes this point as is one of his last things he does here is he says, dear woman, a term of endearment, and dare I say respect. When I looked into it, it's like ma'am, as in sir and ma'am. It was like, dear woman, respect for this lady, getting her attention. And he says, in this time, it's like in her anguish and pain. Jesus looks and he sees this lady, his mum, whose heart is breaking for him going through what he's going through. And in the midst of that, he's still got the capacity and the ability to minister into her point of need. And this morning, I don't know where you find yourself, but Jesus can meet into your point of need. And the thing that blew me away as I was thinking about this was that Jesus, in his point of torture and pain and suffering, and I'm sure we'd all agree it would be the lowest point of his life, right? As he's hanging there, you can't get much lower than that. Just totally humiliated and devastated and beaten and bashed. He is there. If he can minister and he can speak words of life and hope into his mother's life at that point, how much more now that he is in the exalted King of all kings position of authority and power, can he speak and provide words of hope and life into our situation now? You hear what I'm saying? So, yes, we may go through tough stuff. It may be hard times. We've got to remember we don't have to look to a beaten, battered, bruised Jesus on the cross anymore. We can go straight to the exalted, risen, alive King of kings, King of glory Jesus to go, hey, I need some help in my situation. Does that make sense? Yeah. I got a lot out of that because I think that's really cool. And I love the point here is that Jesus is showing us that, you know what, sometimes in our concept that we think that we're actually losing out on something, Jesus Christ actually already has provision for something else to take care of us. Because what does he say? He says to his mother, mother, here is your son, and son, here is your mother. So Jesus' respect and honor for his mother is seen clearly here. He's saying to John, I want you from now on to consider this lady as your own mum. And I want you to take her into your home and I want you to care for her. Now, Jesus being God, he knew that the rest of the disciples, he wouldn't say it to any of the other disciples. Why? Because all the other disciples were martyred, crucified, died. John was the only one that lived out a natural life, right? How amazing is that? So Jesus goes, you know, it's not just anyone. John, you're the one that I want you to look after my mum. And they say that Mary may have lived another 11 or so years after Jesus' crucifixion. And then we see John goes on and he does what he does. But John apparently took care of Mary as he was asked to do. But Mary here with her broken heart is thinking, I'm losing my son. I'm losing my son. I've got this faint hope that he talks about coming back. But in this moment right here, in my pain, in the thickness and the darkness of this situation, I'm losing my son. My heart is breaking for the pain. All I want to do is get him down and tell these people, stop it. It's enough already. Leave him alone. They still shove a spear in his side and he's there. And he says, in the midst of all of that, yeah, mum, you might be losing me, but I'm still going to provide for you. And we know Jesus comes back and she gets the best of both worlds. But you need to understand, sometimes we think by losing out certain things that when we look to Jesus, we trust in Jesus. Jesus is already, I believe, providing exactly what we need. So if you're in the midst of loss or you think you're losing out on something, just hold on with the faith and hope that Jesus knows your situation. He's already providing you with everything that you need. You may not see it yet, but by faith, it's coming. The other thing here I think that we can take out of this is Jesus is very clear that he doesn't want us to do life alone. He didn't want his mum being on her own. So it's about community. It's about doing it together. It's about respecting our elders. It's about taking care of people who are older than us. And I have to say the Asian culture is so much better than the Australian culture at doing this, generally speaking. I know there's exceptions in this room, people that care for and show great respect for their elders. But as a whole, the Australian society and community is not as honouring of our elders. We even see it in church life sometimes that the older people get, obviously they've passed their use-by date and they're of no benefit or use to the church anymore. They can't get up and jump up and down like these guys were doing this morning, so we better just sit them up the back and give them earplugs so we don't offend them. And like, you know, they're just, as long as they don't whinge and complain at the music being loud, you know, we're all good. I mean, that's a sad indictment on the church with the years of wealth of wisdom and experience that these people have that could be of great benefit. And for people in the life of the church to adopt a grandparent and the wisdom that you could glean from the older people in the life of this church. Now, I'm not going to tell you what older is. You work that out for yourself. I'm not going to put an age on that because otherwise I'm going to lose friends. But I love this concept. Jesus saying, you know, I don't want you doing life alone. I want you doing it together. I want you to respect and honor your elders. So there's some things that I got out of this. I wanted to finish up early this morning because it's Mother's Day. I wanted us to be able to get home and, you know, do whatever, but and pamper mums. Yes, ma'am. Yes. I just do as I'm told. So can I, just in terms of, I know there are people who've got lunches and things organised with other people, or maybe you've got family stuff organised, and we get that. But, you know, if you haven't got anything organised, why don't you try find somebody else in this room that doesn't have anything and invite them out for lunch today? Or just try and find, maybe there's a group of people that you might want to go out for lunch and just hang out together, because then, you know, you don't have to share your story, whether it's good or bad, but, you know, maybe it's maybe a good thing and just looking out for each other a little bit. But I'll leave that with you because you're old enough and smart enough to be able to do that for yourself. So let's pray. Lord God, we just thank you for this morning. Jesus, we are just reminded of your goodness to us. Jesus, even in the midst of your excruciating pain, you look down upon your mother, Mary, your earthly mother, the one that raised you and cared for you and was there for you and was one of the only ones that was there to the very, very end, that she stuck it out. That in the midst of all of that, you still showed that respect and you still showed that love and care and concern for somebody whose heart was breaking, even though, Jesus, you are carrying the weight of the world upon your shoulders. So, Lord God, I pray this morning that we could take something from that, that we would have the ability, first of all, to acknowledge that whatever our point of need may be, you're the answer to it. You are the solution. You are the provision. But also, Lord God, in our day-to-day lives, that in the midst of whatever we're going through, that maybe, just maybe, we could just be open to, even if things aren't going well for us, we could be open to what other people are going through. We could look beyond ourselves. And even though it may not be convenient, may not be easy, that we could actually be loving and caring towards those that may be going through hard times. And Lord God, it may even be a harder time that's not as challenging as our own, but yet, Lord Jesus, you showed, you did it. So this morning, Father, just pray for each person in this room. I pray that we could enjoy the rest of today. Lord, I just thank you again for each person that's here. We're not here by accident. Lord God, I just thank you that we can have a fresh understanding, Jesus, of just how much you love us. Even in the midst of your pain, you reach out to us. But now that you have conquered death, you've conquered hell, that you're reigning and ruling on high, you're alive, that there is nothing that you cannot do. So I pray this morning we'd have the courage to call upon your name, have the faith to believe that, God, you can make a difference in my situation. So Lord, I pray a blessing upon your people. May we have a great week, Lord God, and do all that we can to bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.